Ross Atkins is general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. Ross Atkins joins Richard Deitch and myself in primetime. Ross, thank you so much for joining us. Belated Happy New Year to you and yours.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on. Happy New Year to you guys as well.
So we'll talk about the pitchers in a minute, but Troy Tulowitzki, we believe, has agreed to deal with the New York Yankees, and we talked about this a little bit. Look, when you release a player, you know there's a chance that player is going to sign someplace else. It may be within your own division. It's just the way it happens. In a general sense, Ross, are you surprised that a team would take a shot at Troy?
No, certainly not surprised. I mean, it's listen, everything's going to come down to offensive production for Troy. I mean, well, first and foremost will be health and how often he's on the field. And then it'll come down to how productive he is as an offensive player and in the need defensively. And, you know, I will be on a human level certainly pulling for him 100%. And, I think it makes sense for a team that has that opportunity and wants to take a look at him. It for every situation is different. Every organization is different. And, I'll be on a human level. I will absolutely be pulling for Troy Tulowitzki.
Ross, I want to read you a report today from ESPN's Jeff Passan on Marcus Stroman and get you to comment on this. Jeff Passan says that interested teams simply aren't offering packages commensurate with what the Blue Jays believe Stroman's value to be, basing it off the expectation that he'll return to his 2017 form after a disastrous 2018. How accurate is that, Ross? How accurate is it that the packages that you have been receiving from Marcus Stroman are not commensurate to what you think Marcus's value is?
It's not about that for us. You know, we're not, you know, proactively looking to move Marcus Stroman. And, you know, we have not gotten to the point where we've entertained something serious with him. And I think if a team gets serious and wants to make a push, it'll be clear that we do have to roll up our sleeves on a Marcus Stroman potential deal. But that has not presented itself. Having said that, that doesn't have, he's coming off not an incredible year. But what he can control and what he can do, he still is extremely productive. And if he's healthy, he's going to be one of the better pitchers in the game. So, is there some accuracy to the things that he was saying? Sure. But there's just so much more to it. And I find it really interesting that he would have that insight. I don't know how he would have it. Mm-hmm. It's not happening the way that that's described, but. But there is some of that that's certainly accurate.
Ross, Clayton Richard is a guy who's intrigued a lot of teams. He's coming off, a left knee issue. He had inflammation in his left knee in September. This is a guy who, when he's on, can be a ground ball machine. What were your reports on him? And, in particular, with the knee issues, how do you think that factored into his availability? Into the Padres making him available, because starting pitching is such a premium in this league, in Major League Baseball. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think his health and performance last year played into that. And listen, we have to acquire depth, and we're going to continue to acquire depth. We're excited about what he's done, the teammate he's been. Our recent reports, or our most recent reports when we saw him most recently, were very good. There was a lot of power that we saw back. The ground ball ability was there, and we think he still has the ability to get outs. And we'll give him every chance to be a starter, and if not, maybe there's some upside in the pen. And the acquisition just made sense for us, and that's what it came down to. But, Clayton is, as you stated, he puts the ball on the ground. And we still saw the power, the knee. He is confident that he's going to be ready to go in spring training, and we'll make sure not to push too hard on that. Our reports, obviously there's risk. Sure, there's risk going into it, and that's why we need depth.
Ross, when you go, when you look at a guy like this, when either you or whomever, when goes to see him, go to see him pitch, go to see him work out, any pitcher, I'm not just talking about Clayton in particular, but you know, you've got a set of career numbers, you've got a set of numbers from last year, you've got analytics, but how much does what you see in terms of the ball leaving the hand, the arm action, the power, how much does the eye test factor into it when you're talking about a guy who has a track record? You know, it's almost like you're trying to absorb information from three or four different sources. How do you go about doing that without sort of letting one prejudice the other?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you, you know, it's definitely a fair question, and it is definitely the trickiest part of any decision that we're making. Everyone has scouting staffs. Everyone has analytical departments. Everyone has a robust baseball operations department. So how do you weight the information is the hardest part. And there are models that, you know, that are better on the professional side for that. And those projections for players that are in a spot where Clayton is can sometimes be deceiving because the track record is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Having hauled, you know, multiple seasons of tons of innings, and that accounts for so much in projections. So Jim Scalen, who was the scout that saw him recently, seeing him and seeing the things that you mentioned, seeing the power, seeing the velocity, seeing the depth to the pitches, seeing the ease to the delivery, or just seeing the delivery as it was prior, is a massive piece to the equation. But it all factors in. What I can tell you is if we didn't have that piece of information, we would have not likely acquired him.
Ross, I want to ask you, and maybe it's a little bit of a philosophical question, but it's very clear that this year is a developmental year. And I think the fan base understands that and accepts that. But as management, is there any concern that if the win-loss record goes really, really south, that the fan base turns, sort of tunes out on this team very early, meaning in August or mid-August, and you really have significant empty ballpark in August and September? So it's sort of a long way to say that while you have to sort of have a developmental year, are you trying to protect as much as you can against the downside where the win-loss record really bottoms out?
Well, September was pretty fun last year. It was fun to watch. It was fun to be a part of. And I had a great time talking to fans about what they were seeing in September. And, heard a lot of positive things. But I get it, man. The only thing that matters is winning. And we are entirely focused on doing that, and doing that in a way that is sustainable for some period of time and not just taking a chance at it here and there. So that means having discipline to understand that we've got to ensure that our players, when they transition at their pace and not at a pace that is demanding them to come up and perform to produce wins, not at a pace that is unfair to a player. And then secondarily, we got to make sure we have the opportunities for them. So when they do transition, that they're not coming in as complementary pieces, and that's a difficult balance. All of that comes into play when we get to the point where, whether that's this year or sometime next year, and hopefully not beyond that, our players are showing that we're ready to compete in the AL East, and we have enough depth to do so. We're going to have an immense amount of flexibility. And that flexibility is power and agility in a market that demands it. So we have not stopped at trying to build up our system and ensure that we have one of the better farm systems in baseball. There's evidence behind when you do, you win. Mm-hmm. At some point, the wins will come when you have one of the better farm systems in baseball. And especially in a market like ours, where we're going to have financial power to complement it. You know, the Red Sox and the Yankees are now a current example of that. And, we're going to look to match that power. And hopefully in our plan, it's much more than hope, is that our system is going to be in incredible shape and in the coming years, and hopefully in the best shape in the game. We're, you know, we're a top five system in baseball objectively. We feel it's a little bit better than that. There's obviously some bias to our reports. And having said that, it's only going to get better. So it's, you know, to call it a developmental year, you know, for us, we're not just signing up and saying, okay, we're gonna have whatever number of losses this year. We're gonna go in to make the organization better every day in some way, which we've continued to do from day one. And that as that continues to happen, at some point, that's gonna turn into an organization that has a sustainable winning environment.
Ross, to your mind, you know, we're here on January 2nd. There are an awful lot of free agents still out there. You know, some of the elite free agents, but there are other free agents you could call secondary level free agents, if you want to call it that. Is there a chance, and I understand that the Jays, you know, pitching is a priority for you guys, but is there a chance as we get closer to spring training that you might be able to find something of value or something that fits the Blue Jays definition of value for 2019 in that free agent market from some guys who may not have had a contract signed as early as they thought they might have?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of offseason left for us, and we have a lot of flexibility still. So, whether or not that turns into household names is hard to say. I think that opportunity, there's still some free agents out there that could present an opportunity for us. But there's very little doubt in my mind that we're going to have continued trades and continued acquisitions, and more free agents will be signed. And I'm frankly very excited about building off that momentum that we had in September, having one of the better AA and AAA teams in baseball coming, a young position core that is exciting on our major league team to build around. And the pitching has just continued to get better with the additions we've made, with Trent Thornton coming into the organizations, how Barucci and Reed Foley fared last year, and Thomas Pinone was a nice surprise, really, with how well he handled the AL East in the small ballparks, and he'll continue to improve. So there's so many good things happening in our system, and we get it. We understand that we're not coming off a World Series year, and we're not at the $220 million payroll mark. But we're going to have tremendous flexibility surrounded by one of the better systems in baseball. And that's where most organizations are trying to get, to have flexibility and one of the better farm systems in baseball. And we're closer every day.
Ross, we're going to let you scoot. Appreciate you doing this. Again, thanks so much, and happy 2019. We'll be in touch.
All right, Jeff. Thanks, Richard. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Take care. Ross Atkins is general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays.